This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Russia suggested it would not restructure Iraq's debt. Canada threatened to stop sending aid to Baghdad. The European Union said it would study whether global trade rules have been violated. Across Europe, response was swift and angry Wednesday to the U.S. order barring firms based in important allied countries, opponents of the Iraq war, from bidding on Iraqi reconstruction projects. Germany, another leading opponent of the war, called the decision unacceptable, and government spokesman Bella Anda said it went against a spirit of looking to the future together and not to the past. Canada's Deputy Prime Minister John Manley said the decision would make it difficult for us to give further money for the reconstruction of Iraq. In Moscow, Deputy Foreign Minister Yuri Fedotov said the directive will hardly foster the mobilization of the international community to rebuild Iraq, more likely the opposite. And in Brussels, a trade spokesman for the European Commission said the EU was asking the United States to provide information to see whether or not their commitments under the World Trade Organization have been respected. Iraq's health ministry has ordered a halt to account of civilians killed during the war and told its statistics department not to release figures compiled so far, the official who oversaw the count told the Associated Press on Wednesday. The order was relayed by the ministry's director of planning, Dr. Nazar Shabandar, but the U.S.-led coalition provisional authority also wanted the counting to stop. We have stopped the collection of this information because our minister didn't agree with it, the official said, adding, the CPA doesn't want this to be done. A spokesman for the CPA had no immediate response. Guerrillas hit a U.S. Air Force transport plane with a surface-to-air missile, causing the engine to explode, a senior Pentagon source said Wednesday. The C-17 had just lifted off from Baghdad International Airport before dawn Tuesday when the engine exploded, slightly injuring one of the 16 passengers and crew. The plane returned to the airport and landed safely. More IE American Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Two one-legged inmates were among 26 prisoners who scaled walls to break out of an overcrowded jail in a Brazilian city. A spokeswoman said police only managed to recapture 10 of the 26 inmates, including one of the disabled prisoners, in the center of the city. In Monday's jailbreak, the inmates sawed metal bars on the windows of two cells in the police detention center, used a rope to get to the ground, and then jumped a backyard wall. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ho, 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 shouts corporate America. Tis the season to buy, buy, buy. Yet, with this same corporate America's continuous downsizing, offshoring, and Walmartization of our middle-class jobs, most Americans find themselves a little short this holiday season. While these ho-ho-hoers want you to buy stuff from them, they have no interest in returning the favor by manufacturing any of their stuff here in the U.S. to provide some good-paying middle-class manufacturing jobs for our people. Take Christmas stuff. Santa's workshop is not up at the North Pole filled with cheerful elves, and it certainly isn't in America's depleted industrial areas. Santa's workshop has moved to China. Hundreds of thousands of impoverished, poorly paid migrants from China's vast rural areas are squeezed into thousands of unregulated, hellish sweatshops to produce Merry Christmas commercialism for us. For example, 3/4 of the artificial Christmas trees sold in America are from these very unmerry factories. About the same percentage of ornaments, lights, and wreaths in our home also come from there. 71% of the toys sold in the U.S. from there as well. The clothing, computers, cameras, and other gifts you will buy, mostly made in China. The Walmarts, Nikes, Dells, and other profiteers, of course, say that they have no choice but to abandon America and buy low-wage Chinese goods in order to stay competitive. They lie. For example, a top-of-the-line artificial Christmas tree costs the owner of a Chinese factory only about $11 to make, with a labor cost only a pittance of that, under a buck. That same tree is sold wholesale for $120 to U.S. retailers, who then charge you about $250 for it. This is Jim Hightower saying, hello, the labor cost is an inconsequential fraction of that $250 consumer price. They could pay wages 10 times as high and have no impact on the price. That's not being competitive, it's being exploitative.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Well, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It's time we're saved by the music. Saved by the song we can sing. This time we're
saved. Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the, thank God for Vicks DayQuil, huh? Woo-hoo! The phone number, that's right, the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to join in this evening. The email address during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. We've all heard, if you've been following any news today, including the news on this network, about how the Bush administration is blackmailing countries into sending troops to Iraq. We have some sound for you in a few minutes that you may find unbelievably Bushonian. A lot of just grim, weird stories. I'm going to ask you to hold off on your phone calls this evening for a while, okay? That's assuming you're listening. And I mean, who knows anymore, right? Who knows how much longer this program is going to be on the air. But if you are listening this evening, if you would, hold off for a second, because I just have an abundance of this. And let me also recommend something that you probably already know. If you get one of these viral colds going around, it's not the flu, that's a whole different story, but if you get one of these colds and you decide to take to your bed during the day, don't watch television news, which is what I've been doing Monday, Tuesday, and today, and it has been horrible. No, Tuesday and today. Monday's when I got this damn thing. Tuesday and today. And it has been horrifying. I can't. And now I know why I started to feel like okay, except when I'm on the air on this program, is because I don't watch the news. When I'm on the air on this program, I feel like hell most of the time because of the things we have to talk about, right? Let us proceed. I got an email from Philip shortly before the program here, and I'm just going to he is commenting. Phil is commenting on the death today, at the age of 66, of one Robert Bartley. No, I didn't know who he was either, but he was the Wall Street Journal's editorial page editor, I believe, and writer. This was the guy who mercilessly tried to butcher the Clinton administration for 8 long years. This is a guy who prided himself on what he called the muzzle velocity of his editorials. and most of which were lying, filthy screeds against anything decent in this country. Philip says, I think this fascist death should get a mention on the show tonight. We would all hope that he becomes accustomed to burning continuously in hell for his fascist past. Signed, Phil. Well, I don't know if I would have put it that way, Phil, but I can certainly understand your feelings about this thug. If you watched the debate last night with Dennis Kucinich and the other eight candidates hosted by Ted Koppel, there was a rare moment. What, Kathy?
There were really two moments.
Okay, but the one I'm referring to, and we went home last night an hour early, as you know, and got to watch Nightline. Nightline presented a condensed or an abbreviated, not too abbreviated, but a edited version of the debate. So we got to see this. Dennis Kucinich said to Ted Koppel at some point during, it was near the beginning of the debates, that the questions about Al Gore's endorsement, the question about fundraising, the question about polls was so typical of the way media distorts what America should be talking about. Well, guess what? The day after Kucinich took ABC moderator Ted Koppel to task for avoiding the very questions that would be useful to voters in favor of these ridiculous, dumbass questions about endorsements and money and polls, ABC has taken away its full-time embedded reporter from the Kucinich campaign. Now, this is a reporter who had been given no notice, no warning whatsoever that such a move was coming. She had discussed at length yesterday with the Kucinich campaign staff her plans and her needs for the coming months. So ABC decided, well, screw you, you little rat bastard from Ohio. How dare you say something like that to Ted Koppel? Now, in a press release from Kucinich campaign, it says this appears to be another instance of what Kucinich criticized at the debate, namely the media trying to pick candidates rather than letting the voters do so. This move, pulling the reporter before any state's caucus or primary, appears based on a belief that viable candidates can be predicted 11 months prior to an election. This action by ABC, as well as Koppel's comments during the debate, can only serve to disempower Americans, communicating to them that someone other than they is deciding elections and that their votes don't mean much. ABC presumably has no vested interest in discouraging voting or in lowering its ratings. It may, however, have an interest in whether Koppel's prediction of the viability of various candidacies proves true. Bottom line here, aside from the language in the Kucinich campaign press release, which, let's face it, is very, very polite and low-key, here comes a bad word. These sons of bitches at ABC. I thought ABC, of all the networks out there, was the one most willing to present points of view that may not necessarily hold with their corporate owners. We now know, I think it's very clear, since Dennis Kucinich had the temerity to challenge Ted Koppel's line of questioning, ABC has said, well, screw you, we're not going to cover your campaign. They have also pulled reporters from Al Sharpton's campaign and Carol Moseley Braun's campaign. I'll tell you, truth seekers, we are really in it up to our necks. I mean, we're in a world of hurt, you and I. Okay, let me move on here. We'll come back to Kucinich a little bit later because I've got more to say about that, not about that particular story. Did you hear what Cheney did over the weekend? This cowardly, inhumane killer. It's incredible. He went on what's called a canned hunt. Now, you've probably heard of this, where these usually white conservative businessmen are given guns, for Christ's sake, and they are taken to a hunting preserve, and then animals are released so these white thugs can kill them. And they call that a hunt. Pheasants were released for the purpose of being shot by Dick Cheney and nine of his close personal fat-ass white bread Republican friends. This infuriates me. I'm a hunter. Not big game. I hunt small game, like pheasant, like duck, like rabbit, like the stuff like that. Haven't done it for a long time, but I usually, other than the varmints, when I would shoot pheasant, we would eat them. Cheney was taken to Pittsburgh on Air Force Two earlier this week. There, his security detail loaded him and his favorite shotgun into a Humvee. They went to the Rolling Rock Club in Ligonier Township. This is according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. There, and he of his hunting, quote-unquote, buddy, shot at 500 ringneck pheasants, killing 417 of them. Cheney was credited with killing 70 pheasants, as well as an unknown number of trapped mallard ducks. A senior vice president of the Humane Society of the United States wrote in a letter of protest, quote, this wasn't a hunting ground. It was an open-air abattoir, and the vice president should be ashamed to have patronized this operation and slaughtered so many animals. The vice president of the Humane Society went on to say, if the vice president and his friends wanted to sharpen their shooting skills, they could have shot skeet or clay, not resorted to the slaughter of more than 400 creatures planted right in front of them as animated targets. I swear to God, I'll tell you, you know, if I didn't think I'd be arrested, I'd tell you who I'd like to go on a hunt with sometime. But I dare not say it in Bush's America. Now, for any of you guys or gals out there who have gone pheasant hunting, imagine slaughtering 400, you and nine of your friends, killing 417 pheasants in one bloody, disgusting, filthy afternoon. Imagine you shooting 70 pheasants, plus, it doesn't say how many mallard ducks, an unknown number, say 20, 30, killing 100 birds in one day. And what is this lard-ass, heart-attack son-of-a-bitch going to do? Eat them? No. Why did he do this? Because these people love to kill. Oh, my God, have I mentioned how much I hate these people yet? Think about it. Just think about it. I swear to God, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse with these people. Okay, deep breath. Now, how does the Bush crime family and these filthy, filthy, filthy people that are associated with it, how do they deal? How do they do business? They do business just like organized crime. I would say mafia, but it would be an insult to decent card-carrying mafioso in this country. Where concerns Iraq, these people are beyond belief. A decision has been made by the Bush thugs to bar some of our major trading partners from bidding for Iraqi reconstruction contracts because they were countries that said, no, we're not going to go kill in your in your canned hunt over in Iraq. We're not going to go with you. The Germans aren't. The French aren't. The Canadians aren't. So countries that did not get into the killing machine around the U.S. military will not be eligible to compete for contracts to restore Iraq. That's according to this thug, this killer, Paul Wolfowitz, U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary and American Zionist Paul Wolfowitz. How about that? So you either participate in the gang killing or you get none of the spoils. Jesus, Russia has been eliminated. The Russian Foreign Minister Igor Ivanov said Russia was categorically against attempts to bar countries from the process of rebuilding Iraq. Well, and the Canadians are just going out of their minds, and rightly so. But I'll tell you what, maybe these countries should be glad that they have not been invited to feast at the table of corpses laid out there by these sons of bitches in the Bush administration. All the dead bodies, the dead children, the dead combatants, the dead non-combatants, the destruction, the death, and the murder in Iraq. Maybe France and Germany and Canada and Russia should say, we don't want any part of your filthy, disgusting spoils of war.
Yeah. Mitchell, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire.
Zebra.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us and slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, so you either get in on the mass killing, on the shock and awe, or when the shooting's over with the Bush crime family, just like with the other organized crime organizations, you don't get any part of the spoils. So France, Germany, Canada, and Russia have been told to piss off. They don't get any of the money that the American taxpayer is contributing. Nobody else is. We are sending billions upon billions upon billions of dollars into Iraq, and the only people who are going to get it are people connected to the Bush crime family or people who participated in the turkey shoot. CNN's Moscow bureau chief, Jill Doherty, said that the Russian foreign minister Ivanov's negative response, where he said, no, you can't do this, was based on the fact that back during when the time the Soviet Union was in existence, Russia was a major player in Iraq. Russia was the country that built much of the country's infrastructure. And over the years had, I believe, about $40 billion in oil contracts with Baghdad. And when Bush started his murderous rampage, I think the Russians were owed about $10 billion by Iraq. And now, obviously, they want a piece of the pie in Reconstruction. But, you know, you sit down with dogs, you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. You sit down with cannibals like these monsters in the Bush administration, you lose your humanity. And I would think that the Canadians and the French and the Germans and the Russians would raise their middle finger to everybody in the Bush administration and just stay away from them because they are filthy and vile. A German government spokesman said his government had not been contacted by Washington about this, but he said if it was true that Germany was barred, quote, it would not be acceptable. It would not be in agreement with the spirit that both sides have signaled to look into the future, not into the past, unquote. Also, you know, if I were the president of Germany or the foreign minister, or the prime minister or the Teutonic god or the puppet master, whatever the hell it is that runs Germany, I would give the United States 30 days to close their bases and get the hell out of my country. Just get out, just like the Filipinos did. Just get out of my country. Take your weapons of mass destruction and your death and your cheesy ass hospitals and your soldiers and your sailors, your Marine Corps, get the hell out of here. Go away. Now, France, France said it was studying the legality of this decision. In Ottawa, the incoming Canadian Prime Minister, Paul Martin, said the decision was difficult to understand because Canada has already spent $300 million to support Iraq and has troops in Afghanistan. Well, Mr. Martin, little advice to you. Get away from these killers. Get away from Wolfowitz and Pearl and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these monsters. Get away. You don't want any part of this. You want to eat dead flesh? You want to eat corpses? You want to sit at this table of death? Get away from them. The incoming Prime Minister Martin said, I find it really difficult to fathom. He says there's a huge amount of suffering going on there, and I think it is the responsibility of every country to participate in developing Iraq. Mr. Martin said this shouldn't be just about who gets contracts, who gets business. It ought to be about what is the best thing for the people of Iraq. Well, Mr. Martin, you're displaying an appalling sense of naivete if you think the Bush crime family gives a damn about the humanity of the people in Iraq. Come on, Mr. Martin. This is the Bush crime family. This is money and oil. This is profit and blood. They will kill anybody. They will send anybody to their death in order to get what they want. So Mr. Paul Martin, incoming Canadian Prime Minister, wake up and smell the napalm, friend. You're dealing with the Bush crime family. You either participate in the slaughter, in specific slaughters, or your ass is out. The fact that you are participating in the Afghan slaughter means you get a little piece of the Afghan pie, maybe. But until you round up some of those Canucks and send them over to Iraq and kill a few Iraqi children, you don't get any of the profit. You understand, Mr. Martin?
It's going to be important for nations to know they will be held accountable for inactivity. You're either with us or you're against us.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists try to predict how plants will respond to global warming, and they see more foliage and more fire. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Global warming might be good for plants in some parts of the world. Changes in climate could lead to more rain, and that in turn could make local vegetation grow more. But there's an unusual twist to this prediction. The extra rain could ultimately lead to more fire. A group of scientists has developed an elaborate computer model to predict how climate changes might affect different communities of plants across the United States. Ron Nielsen led the project. He's an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. Nielsen says they were trying to find patterns in the way vegetation might respond to climate changes, and some of the more consistent predictions involve the western states. Nielsen says they're likely to get more rain and more plant growth. That's because warmer weather would evaporate more water from oceans, lakes, and rivers.
Essentially what happens is that when you heat up the planet, you evaporate more water, which accelerates the hydrologic cycle, and that's in effect like a fire hose pointed at the western U.S.
Nielsen says that fire hose could spray all kinds of rain and snow across the western states, and that would give plants a boost. But those states also have frequent periods that are dry and hot. Nielsen says when the dry weather rolls around, all the extra vegetation could dry out and be ready to burn. Nielsen says these computer predictions for fire and rain do not show up for all parts of the United States, but he says they do illustrate the challenges that will crop up as people try to manage a landscape that will be altered by a climate that is already changing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
C'est si bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous.
I'm plenty capable of conducting foreign policy for the United States in a way that reflects positively on my nation.
De se dire des mots doux.
Well, if you're not pissed off yet this evening, take your pulse. All right, now, as far as these contracts, these bloody cannibalistic contracts that these vampires, these eaters of dead flesh, these ghouls that constitute the Bush administration, as far as these contracts that they are giving out only to the people who were willing to go kill children and women and noncombatants, and because they'd cut a deal. I mean, everybody knows it now. The U.S. military had cut not the soldiers, but the brass, the leaders from what's his name, Rumsfeld, and these candy ass generals had cut a deal with the Iraqi military. When we start bombing, you guys take off, okay? And we won't kill you. Now that I mean, there's not a person serving above the rank of major that doesn't in the U.S. military doesn't understand that, doesn't know what happened. These are cowards. The United States government is run by murderous, killing cowards. So there was no war to fight. We did not fight a war. We have lost 450 soldiers because of the Bush crime family's activities. But there is no war. There was no war. It was a turkey shoot. So these countries are told, you come over here, you get in on this, okay? Spread the guilt and the blood around. Oh, the Brits are going to do it? What, the Germans aren't? The French aren't? The Canadians aren't? The Russians aren't? Okay? After we have slaughtered this country, after we have butchered it and cut it up into pieces, you're not going to be able to sit here and stuff gobs of bloody meat in your mouth like the rest of us will. God, I hate these people. So what does simple Scotty McClellan have to say today at the press briefing? The reporters wanted to know why the U.S. is only awarding reconstruction contracts to those countries that sent troops to Iraq who participated in the butchery. Wolfowitz says it's for security purposes, like, we don't trust the Canadians. A reporter says, Scott, you talked about the importance of expanding international cooperation and participation in Iraq. Does the administration believe that limiting the people who can get contracts under U.S. money actually furthers that goal? And are you saying that if they agree to send troops, they would then qualify for contracts?
I've seen some of the comments from some of the countries based on what they had read in the media or seen in the media. And we welcome the opportunity to talk with those countries about what we have previously announced and made public about what we're doing here with U.S. taxpayer dollars. And talking to them about the fact that if additional countries want to participate with our efforts in Iraq, then circumstances can change.
You could just hear him sucking up the blood and the chunks of baby flesh, can't you? What did he say? That some of the countries, based on what they've read in the media or seen in the media? No, Scott, it was posted at the Defense Department's website, you jackass. That's where they are getting the information, not from the media. From the Defense Department website, you freak. And if additional countries want to participate in our slaughter, in our carnage, then circumstances can change. We welcome the opportunity to talk with these countries about what we have previously announced and made public about what we are doing here with U.S. taxpayer dollars. What you are doing, you snot, is handing the money back to Bechtel and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and the international U.S.-based oil companies. These people are going to burn in hell. And I'll tell you what, every single person who participates in this, every single person who participates in this is committing a crime against humanity. I don't give a damn if it's a lowly private carrying a gun in Iraq, killing people, all the way up to Rumsfeld and Cheney. This is a war crime. This entire event is a massive crime against humanity. And it gets worse every single day. And there's no way to escape it. We said at Nuremberg, we will hang your ass if you say you're only following orders. And we did hang them. It's butchery. This is just, this is insane. How many more Afghan kids got it today? Another six today? Nine on, the six, it was revealed today. That six were killed on Friday. Nine were slaughtered on Saturday. And that's in Afghanistan, for God's sake. There's no way to escape this. There's no way for you to escape it. There's no way for me to escape it. There's no way for any grunt walking the ground in Iraq to escape it or in Afghanistan to escape it. This is collective guilt. This is murderous, murderous guilt. And it's on every single one of us until we get these bastards out of office. Do you people understand that? Do you understand how vile this has become? Ugh. So at the press briefing today with Simple Scotty, another reporter says, Scott, the reaction's not been good. The French Foreign Ministry says it's studying the legality. The German government spokesman is calling it unacceptable. Russia's Foreign Minister Ivanov expresses dismay. The European Commission is now investigating. Tell me, Scott, why this is not retaliation against France, Germany, and Russia for opposing the war?
Well, I think, one, it was previously announced, as I pointed out. So this has been out there in the public realm. Well, two, in the memo that someone referenced earlier in the briefing, that was put out by Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz, it talks about the importance of making every effort to expand international cooperation in Iraq. That's what we've been looking to do from even before the initial effort, before we went into Iraq in the beginning.
Yeah, before we started the slaughter and the murder and the killing and the shock and awe and the bombing. The importance, Scott, of making every effort to expand international cooperation in Iraq? Really? By telling people, if you don't come and drink the blood and eat the flesh, you're not going to get any of the contracts? Is that what you're talking about, Scott, you sick little punk? You know, I'm going to say something right now, and I don't give a damn what the reaction results of my saying this. But for people who are listening to this program out of the United States on the Internet, I am ashamed to be an American tonight. I am utterly and absolutely ashamed to be a resident in this country. Because I am sitting here tonight and not actively working to throw this government out on its ass. I am ashamed. Do you hear me? If you're listening in Japan, all you people who go to WhiteRoseSociety.org, 80 countries we have listeners from. I'm telling you now, and I'm not the only one, we are ashamed. We stand here in utter degrading shame about what this government is doing. And we're not all crazy. George Bush does not represent America. Dick Cheney, this murderous little bastard, does not represent America. These people do not represent America. I don't know what they represent. And I apologize. I apologize in America, as an American, for what the people in the rest of the world are witnessing from this degenerate regime that runs this country. I am ashamed tonight to be an American citizen. Like Kucinich said on the program last night, I weep about what's happened to my country. Simple Scotty McClellan was asked today, what security risk is posed by Canada? Now, keep in mind, what these degenerates are saying is that you can't have the contract to rebuild Iraq unless you participated in the slaughter because you're a security risk. What risk is Canada? Reporter says, Scott, one of the reasons for the decision is to ostensibly protect U.S. security. Could you what security threat Canada poses, and why would countries like Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and Colombia be allowed to bid on the contracts and not Canada? The incoming Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin, Scott, says he simply can't understand the decision. Canadians are in Afghanistan dying alongside Americans, and Canada has already contributed millions of dollars to the Iraqi rebuilding effort. Why, Scott?
And we appreciate the contributions that they have made, and we will be glad to discuss this matter with them. Again, some of this is based on some of the media reporting, and we welcome the opportunity to talk to countries about the reason for this decision and about if they want to participate in other ways that circumstances can change too.
What other ways, Scott? What other ways are you talking about participate? Huh? Maybe planting weapons of mass destruction so that your psychotic boss can say, see, look, see, there they are. We can't escape this, you and me, gentle listener. We cannot escape the responsibility. You know, I'm reminded of the atrocities that occurred in South Africa by the white minority government. It went on and on and on and on. And even the decent white people in that country will admit now that whites in that country share the blood guilt of what went on in that country for decades. Because they allowed it to continue. They allowed it to continue. I don't know. I'm just dumbfounded. I need to leave this country. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I am disgusted to be an American. Just disgusted tonight. Oh, I'll get over it. So finally, a reporter says, Scott, you just said a short time ago, if countries want to participate, then circumstances can change. You say it's not retaliation, is it? You know, it sounds like blackmail then, Scott.
No, I would not look at it that way at all. I described it the way that I would look at it, and I think it's for the reasons that I stated. And we're talking about a significant contribution from U.S. taxpayers to the reconstruction efforts in Iraq for a very important purpose. And I think the American taxpayers appreciate this decision and understand this decision as well.
Oh, really? You think the American taxpayer? You think the American taxpayer? Who could that be? Who could it be, Scott, that understands and appreciates this decision? You murderous little bastard. This is what I'm talking about. Scott McClellan and the thugs in the Bush regime and the Bush crime family, they are more than willing to spread this guilt around. They're putting it on you and they're putting it on me. And that's where it belongs. That's where this guilt belongs. Every time we kill another 10 children in Afghanistan, that's you dropping the bomb. That's me piloting the plane. I'm sorry, I don't give a damn if you've gone to every Dean rally. I don't care if you think the sun rises and sets in Dennis Kucinich's ass. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you've participated in every single anti-war demonstration over the past 20 years. It doesn't matter. Because we allow this to continue in our name. This is not being done in the name of Uruguay. It's being done in the name of the United States of America. Every single day. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And our boys and our girls in Iraq and Afghanistan are going to continue to be butchered and shot and murdered as they, before they are killed, are going to continue to murder and butcher and kill people in those two countries. And it's not going to stop because the Bush crime family doesn't care about life, any kind of life, human life, animal life. They don't care. Now, whose responsibility is it? Is it Dennis Kucinich's, Howard Dean's, Wesley Clark's? No! It's yours and mine. Yours and mine. I am ashamed to be an American. And I have never been ashamed to be an American. For the second time in a week, the U.S. military admitted today that Afghan children were killed in attacks against Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Suspects! Suspects! For Jesus' sake, suspects! Crushed under a wall! Six children on Friday night. Nine children on Saturday. It just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. Do you think, and I don't care if you tune off the program tonight. I don't care if this is too intense for you. Leave. But if you stick around, do you think you can avoid your share of this? Do I think I can? No. 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 We're covered in it. We're covered in the blood and the gore and the dishonor and the guilt and the immorality. This is just horrifying. And now the Bush crime family has ordered the Iraqi health ministry to stop counting civilian casualties in Iraq. No more counting of the war dead. No more release of figures already compiled. Stop it. Stop it. And this puppet regime in Iraq is going to stop. This is just vile.
Hey! upon this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like
a... Okay up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
They've just seen the first war of the 21st century, and there's universal approval of the statements I have made, and I'm confident there will be universal approval of the actions this government takes.
Jesus. Okay. All right. See, that's what happens to me when I have 2 or 3 days where I'm sick and I can't just get, really let the emotion out. All right. I'm all better now, and we have 2 more hours of the program tonight, so... I'm not trying to condition anything that I said or any of the emotion behind it. It is an embarrassment to be an American in the age of Bush. It is for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's just unbelievable. And the stories get worse and worse every single day. I mean, there's not a day goes by where there's not more criminality and venality and immorality and just total lack of ethics on the part of every single one of these people, whether it's contracts in Iraq, over the corpses of dead people that we have killed, or our own boys and girls who are being butchered over there, or Afghanistan. It doesn't stop, does it? And then we have some little weasel like Ted Koppel sitting there last night saying, well, let's talk about fundraising and polls and Al Gore's endorsement. And because Kucinich points out the asininity of that, ABC retaliates against Kucinich by pulling their one embedded reporter who is traveling with the Kucinich campaign to give just a minimal amount of coverage. Well, at a comparable time in 1991, Bill Clinton had 4% in the polling in New Hampshire, I believe. I believe it was New Hampshire, or maybe it was the Iowa caucuses. 4%. All right, we're going to the break is coming up very quickly. John in Cleveland, you're up next. Jody in Arlington Heights, Jeff in Grapeville, Pennsylvania, and Dawn in Portland, Oregon. And I have one open line here. So hang on. As soon as we come back, I'm going to come straight to your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling something about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carly.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Russia suggested it would not restructure Iraq's debt. Canada threatened to stop sending aid to Baghdad. The European Union said it would study whether global trade rules have been violated. Across Europe, response was swift and angry Wednesday to the U.S. order barring firms based in important allied countries, opponents of the Iraq war, from bidding on Iraqi reconstruction projects. Germany, another leading opponent of the war, called the decision unacceptable, and government spokesman Bella Anda said it went against a spirit of looking to the future together and not to the past. Canada's Deputy Prime Minister John Manley said the decision would make it difficult for us to give further money for the reconstruction of Iraq. In Moscow, Deputy Foreign Minister Yuri Fedotov said the directive will hardly foster the mobilization of the international community to rebuild Iraq, more likely the opposite. And in Brussels, a trade spokesman for the European Commission said the EU was asking the United States to provide information to see whether or not their commitments under the World Trade Organization have been respected. For the second time in a week, the U.S. military admitted Wednesday that Afghan children were killed in attacks against Taliban and Al-Qaeda suspects, crushed under a wall at a compound stacked with a fugitive militant's weapons. Both assaults were in the Pashtun-dominated southeast and risked further alienating the country's largest ethnic group from which the Taliban emerged and still draws its main support. A U.S. military spokesman said 6 children died when a wall fell on them Friday night at a complex in eastern Paktia province. Guerrillas hit a U.S. Air Force transport plane with a surface-to-air missile, causing the engine to explode, a senior Pentagon source said Wednesday. The C-17 had just lifted off from Baghdad International Airport before dawn Tuesday when the engine exploded, slightly injuring one of the 16 passengers and crew. The plane returned to the airport and landed safely. More IE America Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
The Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives is under fire because he decorated the House floor with a giant made-in-China plastic Christmas tree. The state's tree growers are up in arms over the 15-foot polyvinyl chloride tree that Speaker Tom Craddock, a Republican from the West Texas town of Midland, had installed on the House floor. The Christmas tree in question is a top-of-the-line plastic model that came with 3,500 lights and a retail price of $3,400. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Ho, 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 shouts corporate America. 'Tis the season to buy, buy, buy. Yet,
With this same corporate America's continuous downsizing, offshoring, and Walmartization of our middle-class jobs, most Americans find themselves a little short this holiday season. While these ho-ho-hoers want you to buy stuff from them, they have no interest in returning the favor by manufacturing any of their stuff here in the U.S. to provide some good-paying middle-class manufacturing jobs for our people. Take Christmas stuff. Santa's workshop is not up at the North Pole, filled with cheerful elves, and it certainly isn't in America's depleted industrial areas. Santa's workshop has moved to China. Hundreds of thousands of impoverished, poorly paid migrants from China's vast rural areas are squeezed into thousands of unregulated, hellish sweatshops to produce Merry Christmas commercialism for us. For example, 3/4 of the artificial Christmas trees sold in America are from these very unmerry factories. About the same percentage of ornaments, lights, and wreaths in our home also come from there. 71% of the toys sold in the U.S. from there as well. The clothing, computers, cameras, and other gifts you will buy, mostly made in China. The Walmarts, Nikes, Dells, and other profiteers, of course, say that they have no choice but to abandon America and buy low-wage Chinese goods in order to stay competitive. They lie. For example, a top-of-the-line artificial Christmas tree costs the owner of a Chinese factory only about $11 to make, with a labor cost only a pittance of that, under a buck. That same tree is sold wholesale for $120 to U.S. retailers, who then charge you about $250 for it. This is Jim Hightower saying, hello, the labor cost is an inconsequential fraction of that $250 consumer price. They could pay wages 10 times as high and have no impact on the price. That's not being competitive, it's being exploitative.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows till you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere.
Welcome back. Did I already say that? 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. As promised, let's go right to the calls. John is calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you, sir?
Great. Long time no speak to. I apologize for that.
Yeah, we've desperately missed you.
Well, I haven't. It's not that I haven't been listening. It's just that I've got this job that just keeps me up all night.
I hear you.
Anyhow, you know, listening to you for the past hour, I'm reminded of the old adage that laughter is the best medicine, but in certain situations, the Heimlich maneuver may be more appropriate.
Really?
And,
really?
You know, it's just a shame that Ted Koppel, who is, you know, revered by many as a, you know, an outstanding professional journalist that mm-hmm. founded Nightline at a very dismal time in our country, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, has kind of been there for, you know, nearly, you know, over 20 years now.
Yeah.
Has to no longer report the news, but now he must make the news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just so disgusted with him last night. And, you know, very, very proud of the job that Kucinich did and really putting him in his place. But it's a shame that the repercussions came about as they did.
Well, that's how it works in George Bush's America. I shudder to think what's going to happen to me for the reputation I've built up in the radio business. When IE America finally tanks, It's going to be very difficult, I have a feeling, for me to find further employment. And when you speak out like that, you know, I admire somebody like Kucinich or even Howard Dean. Dean gets a little more agitated, not the way I do, because he's working towards something. He wants to be president of the United States. So does Kucinich. But when these guys speak out, it's more measured. I just go ballistic. It's just impossible for me to contain the rage. And as a result of that, when this gig ends, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I will continue in radio or not. I'd love to, but it's going to be difficult as hell, because the tendency now. And Koppel personifies it. I'm like you. I think Ted Koppel is one of the finest interviewers in the history of television journalism. Mm-hmm. He has done some amazing work. I have watched him take on people that other journalists would flee from and force answers out of them when the last thing they wanted to do was answer the question. Mm-hmm. But this BS he went through last night, and then for ABC to retaliate. You know that Koppel could have said, no, don't pull our reporter. That's not necessary. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Koppel who said, pull our reporter off Kucinich's campaign. To hell with this little weasel.
Yeah.
So it's awful. It's awful. If you're a school teacher and speak out, if you're a scientist and speak out, if you're a radio talk show host and make noises, if you're a presidential candidate, anybody who speaks out, if you're a member of Congress, if you're a carpenter, I don't care what you do, if you speak out, you are gambling with your future.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know where in the how this happened. I don't know how this happened.
Well, you know, another thing, too, you know, getting back to what you were saying about Cheney, you know, with his little hunting expedition.
Oh, didn't that make you sick?
Well, if the guy was, you know, had such a, you know, I got to watch how I say this because, I mean, you know, I don't want to get bleeped.
I know what you were about to say.
If the guy had such a fetish for guns and shooting things,
right.
Didn't he have his chance in Vietnam?
He ran like a cowardly little bastard that he is. You know, like I said, I have hunted before. A lot of people say, well, you're not a liberal because you hunt your own guns. Oh, BS.
Yeah,
I have hunted, but and when I have hunted, when I have shot varmints, I don't eat rabbits. I don't eat squirrels. I don't, you know, but I eat pheasants if I shoot them. I eat quail if I shoot them. And to imagine, can you imagine somebody shooting 70 pheasants in one outing? What is that?
Reminds me of a movie I saw in high school once called Bless the Beast and the Children.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, these kids, they were all kind of like misfit kids, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They go to this camp, and these rednecks do the same thing where they have all these buffalo corralled up,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this pen, and they just kind of like open the gate and let them run a little bit, and then they're just shooting them down.
And
these kids are like freaking out.
They're, yeah. Yeah, I think it just speaks volumes, though, about this entire administration and the sickness, the poison inside Dick Cheney, that he would go to a place like this with 9 of his friends, and between the 10 of them, they shoot 417 ringneck pheasants and God knows how many mallard ducks, just mow them down, just slaughter them. That speaks volumes about what these thugs, these murderers are about. These are really killers. A lot of people say, well, you know, Malloy, why are you calling them killers? Oh, Jesus, come on.
What are they doing with the animals after they shot them?
Who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows? Probably just kick them aside or dig a hole if they had the decency to dig a hole and throw their rotting little corpses into a hole in the ground and cover it up. You know they're not going to take them home and cook them. You know they're not going to do that.
No.
Damn.
Probably didn't even give them to a homeless shelter.
Probably not. Hey, John, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Doesn't it? I've always hated hunters who do that, who bait a field. And what about using decoys? Duck hunters who use decoys? I don't like that either. It's not fair. If you're going to use a thunder stick, if you're going to use a weapon, a gun, a shotgun, or a rifle to kill something, for Christ's sake, at least give it a fighting chance. And you're not even giving it a fighting chance. You got the gun. I'm talking about small game. But to bait a field is bad enough. But to take penned up pheasants. Penned, you know, birds that probably have about as much survival instinct as the average chicken that you eat off your Sunday the kitchen table, dining room table. pheasants that were probably raised on a farm. They don't know squat about being a pheasant. And you keep them all in a pen. And this, I don't know why that story's gotten to me. I know people do this. I know that rich white people do this. I know they do it a lot. I know they do it in Texas. In Texas, they use big game. You know, they'll use a longhorn. What are they? The rams. No, not steer, not bulls. It's, they're in the ram family. They don't shoot cows.
Talking about a Dodge truck?
No, I'm not talking about a Dodge truck. Oh, poor thing. You've never gone hunting in your life, have you? I swear to God, I've got to take you out and let you kill something and bring it home and eat it and cook it. I cannot believe my wife
That's why God invented Kroger.
Is your mic open when you're saying that? Okay. Oh, my God. Jody is calling from Arlington Heights. Hey, Jody.
Hi, Mike.
Arlington Heights, Illinois. I left
yes.
that part. Yeah, okay. Hi.
Yes. If my voice wasn't so terrible as it is, because I've probably been hit with the same thing you were, I'd be screaming.
Yeah, I know.
I have a little phrase that sums up, I think, what they're doing, and I would call it, send us your people to die, and you get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, sure.
But I think part of this is seriously, a desperate attempt to coerce people to send troops.
Also to spread the guilt, to spread the blood guilt that the Bush crime family is bringing down on America. We're not going to escape this. We're
no.
not going to escape this. And, you know, the next time this George Bush gets out there and starts talking about why they hate us, I wish somebody in the audience would say, well, they hate us because of actions like yours, Mr. Bush.
Right.
But we're not going to escape this. And I think what the Bush crime family is looking for, they want the other, quote, civilized, close quote, nations of the world to join in the turkey shoot, join in the slaughter. No matter where it is, support these vicious regimes like in Uzbekistan, pander to thugs like the Chinese Communist premier at the expense of the Taiwanese, which just happened yesterday.
Right.
That's what Bush wants, because he's a coward. He's a chicken-hearted, lily-livered. What words can I come up with? He wants other people to share in the guilt and the immorality of what he's doing. He is just. I've never seen a human being like this guy. Never.
Well, I found something. This is from May 30th, right before he went to Europe for the G8 summit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just, it's a couple Bush quotations, probably cleaned up so they actually sound like English. And he said he's not mad at the French or other Europeans for not supporting him. I'm disappointed. But now is the time to move forward.
Yeah.
And then he says, I can understand why some didn't agree with our policy on Iraq, but it's now time to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we can do a heck of a lot more together than we can arguing with each other.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking, okay, you know. And the other thing about this that bothers me is, first off, I'm surprised there's any contracts left to give. I thought that Halliburton could do everything.
Mm, yeah, or Kellogg, Brown, and Root.
Right, and
yeah.
and the other, or Bechtel.
But isn't this, if you, let me just interrupt, isn't it disgusting?
Oh.
We're sitting here, and the leaders of the United States of America are carving up a body that is still twitching. There are people still dying in Iraq. We still have sold Iraq. There are people, civilians being killed in Iraq. And we're sitting here carving up this squirming body that's not even dead yet. This has to be one of the most immoral, embarrassing, unethical moments in the history of this republic. I cannot believe this is going on.
No, I agree.
I just can't believe it, Jody.
I'm not ashamed. I do have to believe it. I'm not ashamed to be an American, because I guess what I'm saying, I know you said I'm ashamed. I am angry to be an American. I am irate to be an American. And that because of what you said, we don't do anything. We try, but nothing happens. And it seems like there's no way to stop it. And I try not to think that. But on the other end of it, I look at this and I say, well, what about the Iraqis? Why can't they do any of this work? They're going to have to. If you're really planning on giving this country back to them, don't you think they ought to know how to build their own infrastructure?
To
rebuild things?
Sure, sure.
I mean, we're going to have, you know, what countries that helped to kill them do it.
Yeah.
And my final statement is, I think I know why they shot all those birds. You know, they need Christmas gifts, Mike.
Yeah.
A little pheasant for your Christmas table.
Maybe that's it. Thanks, Jody.
All right, bye.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, I understand Jody's anger. I've been angry for 2.5 years about this monster that squats in the White House. But I am ashamed, and I will not back down from that statement to our international audience. I apologize on behalf of anybody in this country who still has an ethical center, because what we are doing is unethical and immoral. I am ashamed to be an American tonight.
A bottle of whiskey in my shaking hand. It's gonna be peace in the valley tomorrow. Cause tonight we're gonna blow it all away.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Jeff is calling from Grapeville, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I could be better, but I could be worse.
Okay.
I thought it was really interesting trying to keep on top of what is going on in the world today. The fact that IE America Network is going to be pulled.
Mm-hmm. That's what it said in the Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart because that has been my primary source of effective information, realistic information.
Sure.
And I just cannot get past the fact that it will really hurt my ability to keep up on what's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. There's a story there that I am not at liberty to talk about right now because of an agreement I have with IE America Radio and the UAW, but eventually I will tell that story. But everything essentially in the Detroit Free Press article is correct. According to UAW and IE America, I will be able to say something soon, but I can't right now. Maybe this the fact that somehow the story got out to the Detroit Free Press, maybe that will kind of loosen the strictures that have been placed on me and other people that work for this network. We'll see.
Well, I know that last week you had intimated that you really didn't know where you were going to go from this point on, and that was a real eye-opener for people like me. But, you know, having some real solid information really put me on the offensive that we had to do something to try and make sure that we had the information resources available to us that you provide.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm on the offensive. I'm out there trying to, you know, get whatever resources we can to provide listener influence, listener support, that you're available to us.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff. But let me issue a word of caution to you. Okay, I appreciate those efforts, but I've been down this road so many times. Let me just caution you. Radio stations, radio networks, syndicating companies, once they make a decision, it doesn't matter if 10 million people send an email to the radio station, the network, or the syndicator saying, don't tank this program or that program, don't go out of business. They don't give a tinker's damn. Once these decisions are made, they are made. Now, it is up to people like me, or Tom Hartman, or anybody else who might consider themselves to be liberals or progressives. I consider myself to be an absolute ass-kicking, gun-toting, flaming liberal. I do not hide behind the word progressive or centrist or any of that. I am a liberal. I am not a communist. I don't come from the socialist left. I am a liberal. And for people like me, When we lose these gigs, it's very difficult to get them to begin with. I don't know what's going to happen, but it is harder and harder for any liberal in media to have a voice in the age of Bush, and it is getting more and more difficult. So all I'm saying, Jeff, I appreciate your sentiments. I appreciate your support of this program, but I would caution everybody, don't waste an iota of your energy thinking you can turn around a decision like this. Jeff, I have to leave it there. And make way for a commercial here. I appreciate your call, sir.
She saw it all shine, swore it a man, she'd never go back. She don't mind the late night radio. She don't mind the late night radio. She don't mind.
Thieves in high places, they've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists try to predict how plants will respond to global warming, and they see more foliage and more fire. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Global warming might be good for plants in some parts of the world. Changes in climate could lead to more rain, and that in turn could make local vegetation grow more. But there's an unusual twist to this prediction. The extra rain could ultimately lead to more fire. A group of scientists has developed an elaborate computer model to predict how climate changes might affect different communities of plants across the United States. Ron Nielsen led the project. He's an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. Nielsen says they were trying to find patterns in the way vegetation might respond to climate changes, and some of the more consistent predictions involve the western states. Nielsen says they're likely to get more rain and more plant growth. That's because warmer weather would evaporate more water from oceans, lakes, and rivers.
Essentially what happens is that when you heat up the planet, you evaporate more water, which accelerates the hydrologic cycle, and that's in effect like a fire hose pointed at the western U.S.
Nielsen says that fire hose could spray all kinds of rain and snow across the western states, and that would give plants a boost. But those states also have frequent periods that are dry and hot. Nielsen says when the dry weather rolls around, all the extra vegetation could dry out and be ready to burn. Nielsen says these computer predictions for fire and rain do not show up for all parts of the United States, but he says they do illustrate the challenges that will crop up as people try to manage a landscape that will be altered by a climate that is already changing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
In truth, are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Dawn is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Mike. I'm really glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah, much better. It's amazing what DayQuil will do for you.
It's like no medicating. That's really what they want us to do. No psychoactive drugs, man.
I know, but I have to in order to stop. You know what it's like when you have a bad cold.
Yes, I understand completely.
You can give in and stay in bed, or go do your job.
And come and be angry and upset and just feel this intense rage when you see somebody like Judy Woodruff get on CNN and ask Howard Dean 14 different times, do you feel guilty about avoiding the draft?
Did she really?
Five or six different ways of asking him, do you feel guilty about these other boys with back pain went over to Vietnam and you got out just for back pain? Do you feel guilty about it? I got it on tape. Man, I swear to God, if I'd had any crystal, it would have been... The TV would have been broken. That was why I got up and called you. God, oh my.
Oh, that's awful.
You should go and you should read the transcript. You will just absolutely toss your cookies, man. It was just,
I wonder if she would ask George Bush that. Dick Cheney or Wolfowitz. Or
the pig man about his anal cyst.
Right.
Or any of that. You just have to wonder. She's got to join Ted Koppel in the Hall of Media Horrors for the week, and there are many of them.
Oh, isn't
and
it?
This, and this was a great week for me as a Democrat, you know, because of you. I was very happy yesterday. You know, I just had this feeling that there are some really smart people, and they planned this out a long time ago.
Yeah.
With what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
But you just, Mike, I was on your website, and I read that article that you have posted from Salon.
Uh-huh.
And where it talks about that other liberal media radio network. Is that not something that you can talk about?
Well, there's really nothing to talk about. It was put together by a couple of very, very nice people in Chicago.
And Shell?
Yeah, Anita and Shelley Drobny. They hired a man to be their CEO, and they all got to work to raise the enormous amounts of money.
$10 million or something?
Yeah, well, much more than that. That was just like a down payment.
Seed money.
Yeah, that was seed money. So they, but in the process... it's like any venture capitalist situation. At some point, when you're talking about the enormous sums that are needed to launch a new network, right? Then the bigger hitters have to step in, and that is what has happened. So
yeah, because I heard Carolyn Kay didn't get invited on into the new venture or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I know about the Drobnys who got this started. It was their energy and their determination to try to get something going from a liberal perspective in media that got this whole thing started. All the talk, all the articles, everything from Newsweek to the New York Times, the Washington Post, all the publicity that's been out there for the past 14 months has been because Anita and Shelley Drobny in Chicago decided they'd had enough and wanted to do something to get a liberal talk a network started.
But then they go with talent that has no background in radio.
Well, that's not the Drobnys doing that. That's the new group that has taken over, and you've got to have some stars. What's his name? Al Franken or Janine Garofalo.
That's setting us up for the same kind of quote unquote, you know, if you want to say failure, that Hightower and Cuomo and the people who've been on liberal radio,
Well, they're not going to stop.
If you get you and Randy Rhodes as a 1-2 punch, there is no stopping that thing.
Well, that may happen. That's what I'm saying. I don't have anything to say about it now because nobody from this new company has contacted me and said, hey, how would you like a job? I know some of the principles, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean anything.
But if there's money in it, Mike, I swear to you, if there's money to be made, the people who want to make money, they will. And that was the other thing I kind of wanted to get to a little bit because, you know, there are just some days where this deep, like a black hopelessness just kind of settles over you where you think you're banging your head. Your forehead's bloody. You got nowhere. You're not being able to do anything about it. But I'm seriously thinking that even though Wolfowitz did what he did, You know, he's got this arrogance that nothing can stop us.
Right.
We can do whatever the heck we want. There are some power players that the conservatives are really starting to eat their own.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting getting to the point where when things are going well, they march in lockstep. When things start to go haywire, they eat themselves up, and that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
And it just feels like that tinfoil hat territory, Tridato Commission, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, there's this power players that are saying, wait a minute, this is unsustainable. This cannot happen. Because at that other end, you know, you start to think, well, if they think they're going to lose, how many thousands of Americans will they kill to scare everybody?
Oh, they don't. They don't give a damn about the numbers, whatever it takes. They were instrumental in allowing 3,000 people, not just Americans, about 2,300 Americans and the rest foreign nationals to be butchered on our soil.
And they
don't care. They don't care. We've lost. We're approaching 500 American soldiers have been killed. 10,000 Afghans have been killed. 15,000 or 20,000 Iraqis have been killed. They don't care. The number is immaterial. These are bloodlust. They are killers. Whatever it takes to maintain power, they will do it.
But see, you can't rally the masses now with just 3,000 Americans because it's been there, done that. People have sort of accepted that level of tyranny and fear in their lives.
So they take it up a level.
So if they're going to keep the same level of hold and you know
terror
what
and
they've
control,
done since 9/11,
sure.
They're going to have to make it an exponentially worse.
Yeah,
and that's my absolute greatest fear.
Me too.
Because you've got these really smart people. You know, I'm firmly convinced that it's going to be a Dean Clark ticket. I'm firmly convinced because the strengths and weaknesses of the two men completely complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, and you start to see a my faith in the American people who actually, you know, are genuinely good people who really care about themselves and their world. If that happens, what would these flying monkey right Bush crime family sons of a bleep, what will they do?
There's no telling. Don, thanks for checking in.
Hey, Mike, it's been great. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate your time. Thanks. Yeah. 3,000 dead on American soil? Doesn't mean a thing. 7,000 Afghans? Doesn't mean a thing. 500 American soldiers? Nothing. 10,000, 15,000 Iraqis? Nothing. That's where we are. That's where we are. Italians get blown up? Means nothing. Polish? Bombings in Turkey? 30 dead in two synagogues, 50 dead on the street. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. This freedom that George Bush has brought, democracy to Iraq, they are now wrapping Iraqi villages in razor wire. How about that? Razor wire. With signs that say, we're doing this to protect you. And how about this? This is how bad it is. This is from The Guardian of the UK. Israeli advisors are helping train U.S. special forces in aggressive counterinsurgency operations in Iraq, including the use of assassination squads. The Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, has sent urban warfare specialists to Fort Bragg in North Carolina, the home of U.S. special forces. And according to two sources, Israeli military consultants have also visited Iraq. Blah, 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 blah. The secret war in Iraq is about to get much tougher. U.S. Special Forces teams are already behind the lines inside Syria, attempting to kill suspected foreign jihadists. A former senior U.S. intelligence official who spoke on condition of anonymity said this is basically an assassination program. This is what is being conceptualized here. This is a hunter-killer team. The former senior U.S. intelligence official added that he feared the new tactics and enhanced cooperation with Israel would only inflame a volatile situation in the Middle East. He goes on to say it is bonkers, insane. Excuse me. Here we are. We've already been being compared to Sharon in the Arab world, and we've just confirmed it by bringing in the Israelis and setting up assassination teams. They are being trained by Israelis in Fort Bragg. Now, Jesus. The article in The Guardian goes on. It says the new counterinsurgency unit made up of elite troops being put together in the Pentagon is called Task Force 121. New Yorker magazine reported in yesterday's edition. One of the planners behind the offensive is a highly controversial figure whose role is likely to inflame Muslim opinion, Lieutenant General William Boykin. You remember this bastard, don't you? In October, there were calls for his resignation after he told a church congregation in Oregon that the U.S. was at war with Satan. This is the guy, you'll remember, Truth Seekers, who sees visions over Somalia, who sees demons stalking the planet, who sees Satan and Christ fighting. Christ is George Bush. Satan is, Osama. This is where we are. This is how bad it is, okay? You think it's bad now, just like Don said. You think it's bad now? You think we're living in a situation now that the rest of the world looks at us as the killers that we are? You think it's bad now? Israel is training U.S. assassination squads. How about that? Israel. The Iraqi health ministry has been ordered by the U.S. Coalition Provisional Authority, the CPA, to stop counting dead dead Iraqis and stop releasing the figures. We are wrapping cities, towns, villages in Iraq with razor wire. We are killing children in Afghanistan. We are stomping on and killing anything that moves. Huh? You think that we are going to get out of this without an unbelievable moral price to pay? Well, don't think that. Jane is calling our Nashville, Tennessee bureau chief. Hey, Jane.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey.
Don't answer that.
I'm just happy as a pig in swill.
Okay. They're reptiles. They're really reptiles. No, seriously. They're alien reptiles, and they're reptiles.
It seems that way.
It does seem that way. I would like to also say that I am very, very ashamed of my country, and I am right there with you completely. And I also would like to apologize on behalf of my country to any of your listeners and their families, the people that we've murdered and killed and tortured, and the brutality that we've brought to this world. And we're responsible.
Yes,
you,
we are.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And I'm just... I've never lived during a period like this. It's just it's amazing. I also want to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about IE America, but whether it be IE America or the new networks that are coming out, you have an incredible following, and you have people that will give, and I will give, money.
No. None of that is necessary, and not to any degree. The people who put together or are attempting to put together this new network will be tremendously funded. Believe me, they're going to be buying radio stations in major markets. No. Whether or not this program winds up on one of these new entities is just a matter of waiting to see what happens. Frankly, I scare the Christ out of most of them. IE America Radio Network is one of the few that wasn't afraid or weren't afraid to take this program on. But I have worked in major markets. I've worked for some pretty big organizations like ABC, and I'll tell you, they're terrified, especially now, because the militant, psychopathic right wing in this country is so well organized that a program like mine goes on a radio station. We just had this happen in Alabama, WNSI in Alabama, a little jerkwater, crappy-ass station that was carrying my program. The right-wingers decided to notify the station that they were going to boycott any company that advertised on that station because my program was on that station. Well, the people who managed the station tried to resist that until they could no longer resist it, and then they dropped the program. It happened over here in Augusta, Georgia. It has happened all over the country. When I first took over this program, I think I was on 35 stations. I think I am now on 3. And the reason every one of those stations dropped was not because they didn't have listeners. They had more listeners than they had ever had in their cheesy-ass lives, most of these radio stations. But because of the pressure that was put on by the local advertisers, you get that Malloy bastard off the air. Now, that's how it works, okay? So I don't know if a new company or ABC or Clear Channel or Christ himself, if he started a radio network, I don't know that he could withstand the pressure from the right wing in this country. It is enormous. It is way beyond. You know, we sit here and talk about it. But let me tell you something. From the inside position in media, I can tell you now that the pressure to close down dissenting voices in this country is more intense than anything that I've ever seen, with the exception of what I've read about in the Soviet Union. It is mind-boggling. Now, let me put you on hold, because I've been blabbing on here, and it was your dime. I'll come right back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel all around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of Ultra Lipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun, spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game somewhere?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Molloy.
5 before the hour. We'll be here for the third hour tonight, so stick around, okay? Back to Jane, our Nashville, Tennessee Bureau Chief. Thanks for holding on, Jane.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Oh, Mike, I'm just sitting here, my head's spinning. But two thoughts. Well, the first thought is this. If what you say is true, and it is true, okay, about, like, all these people, like, booting you, mm-hmm. okay, off the stations, okay, the sword swings both ways. If companies can be that swayed by the reptilian right, then the same tactics can work for the virtuous left. And we're growing, we're getting stronger, we have money, we're organizing, and we cannot let your voice die. We won't.
There's a problem with the virtuous left, and that is the virtuous left, I call them limousine liberals. The liberals that have money are very reluctant and have been. They have not put their money where their mouths should be, the way the right wing has in this country. There are very few, maybe one or two so-called liberal think tanks. About the only one I can think of is Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's.
Mm-hmm.
He's done something. If you want to include Soros, okay, but he's a billionaire. But I'm talking about the average run-of-the-mill, extremely wealthy limousine liberal. Shelley and Anita Drobny did quite a bit, got something started. But as far as just across the spectrum, there are rich Democrats in this country. There are rich Democrats, there are rich liberals, but I sometimes get the feeling that they just don't give a damn. They're not as committed as the conservatives, the Republicans, the neo-fascists, the ones who really want to lock this country down and turn it into a totalitarian state. And it's amazing to me that the limousine liberals have only just recently started to try to get their act together. I don't think that there's enough interest on the part of the left in this country, the wealthy left, to do a damn thing. Because the wealthy left always figures that their money will protect them. and that if need be, they can, since they have the wealth, just like the right-wingers do, they can become right-wingers at the drop of a hat. All they have to do is say, look, I'm rich like you. Don't bitch at me because I had a leftist or liberal point of view. So it's a bad situation being, Jane, for liberals. Wealthy liberals do not support their own. They just don't, and I don't know why.
What about the Dean approach? Exactly what Dean is doing through the internet. Why can't, like, I would give money.
That's good. That's good for a political campaign, but it doesn't work for commercial radio. Jane, got a boogie.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Quick break here. Well, actually, a seven-minute break. We'll be back for the final hour tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Russia suggested it would not restructure Iraq's debt. Canada threatened to stop sending aid to Baghdad. The European Union said it would study whether global trade rules have been violated. Across Europe, response was swift and angry Wednesday to the U.S. order barring firms based in important allied countries, opponents of the Iraq war, from bidding on Iraqi reconstruction projects. Germany, another leading opponent of the war, called the decision unacceptable, and government spokesman Bella Anda said it went against a spirit of looking to the future together and not to the past. Canada's Deputy Prime Minister John Manley said the decision would make it difficult for us to give further money for the reconstruction of Iraq. In Moscow, Deputy Foreign Minister Yuri Fedotov said the directive will hardly foster the mobilization of the international community to rebuild Iraq, more likely the opposite. And in Brussels, a trade spokesman for the European Commission said the EU was asking the United States to provide information to see whether or not their commitments under the World Trade Organization have been respected. Iraq's health ministry has ordered a halt to account of civilians killed during the war and told its statistics department not to release figures compiled so far, the official who oversaw the count told the Associated Press on Wednesday. The order was relayed by the ministry's director of planning, Dr. Nazar Shabandar, but the U.S.-led Coalition Provisional Authority also wanted the counting to stop. We have stopped the collection of this information because our minister didn't agree with it, the official said, adding, the CPA doesn't want this to be done. A spokesman for the CPA had no immediate response. Guerrillas hit a U.S. Air Force transport plane with a surface-to-air missile, causing the engine to explode, a senior Pentagon source said Wednesday. The C-17 had just lifted off from Baghdad International Airport before dawn Tuesday when the engine exploded, slightly injuring one of the 16 passengers and crew. The plane returned to the airport and landed safely. More IE American Network news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Two one-legged inmates were among 26 prisoners who scaled walls to break out of an overcrowded jail in a Brazilian city. A spokeswoman said police only managed to recapture 10 of the 26 inmates, including one of the disabled prisoners, in the center of the city. In Monday's jailbreak, the inmates sawed metal bars on the windows of two cells in the police detention center, used a rope to get to the ground, and then jumped a backyard wall. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Ho, 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 shouts corporate America. 'Tis the season to buy, buy, buy. Yet, with this same corporate America's continuous downsizing, offshoring, and Walmartization of our middle-class jobs, most Americans find themselves a little short this holiday season. While these ho-ho-hoers want you to buy stuff from them, they have no interest in returning the favor by manufacturing any of their stuff here in the U.S. to provide some good-paying middle-class manufacturing jobs for our people. Take Christmas stuff. Santa's workshop is not up at the North Pole filled with cheerful elves, and it certainly isn't in America's depleted industrial areas. Santa's workshop has moved to China. Hundreds of thousands of impoverished, poorly paid migrants from China's vast rural areas are squeezed into thousands of unregulated, hellish sweatshops to produce Merry Christmas commercialism for us. For example, 3/4 of the artificial Christmas trees sold in America are from these very unmerry factories. About the same percentage of ornaments, lights, and wreaths in our home also come from there. 71% of the toys sold in the U.S. from there as well. The clothing, computers, cameras, and other gifts you will buy, mostly made in China. The Walmarts, Nikes, Dells, and other profiteers, of course, say that they have no choice but to abandon America and buy low-wage Chinese goods in order to stay competitive. They lie. For example, a top-of-the-line artificial Christmas tree costs the owner of a Chinese factory only about $11 to make, with a labor cost only a pittance of that, under a buck. That same tree is sold wholesale for $120 to U.S. retailers, who then charge you about $250 for it. This is Jim Hightower saying, hello, the labor cost is an inconsequential fraction of that $250 consumer price. They could pay wages 10 times as high and have no impact on the price. That's not being competitive, it's being exploitative.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Three quick stories here that they're quick because they are now considered dead stories. Schwarzenegger. Remember his plan for the groping inquiry? Every single Republican is a liar. If you start from that operating principle, it will help you in your dealings with people who say they are conservatives or Republicans. Every one of them is a liar. Schwarzenegger is dropping plans, according to the L.A. Times, his plan to hire a private investigator to examine allegations that he groped at least 16 women over the last three decades, one of his spokesmen said. This is insane, right? Right?
Well, let's hire an investigator to see if I really did grope them.
According to Rob Stutzman, communications director for Schwarzenegger, the governor's busy. He's too busy with the state's budget crisis, and he doubts, Schwarzenegger does, that an inquiry would appease critics. And because of that, Schwarzenegger, has decided not to look into the charges himself, as he promised to do, according to Stutzman. Stutzman said, quote, the governor's, in talking with counsel and advisors, concluded that there was very little point to the investigation. The issue has become quite too political. He's apologized and continues to be sincerely sorry for anyone who's offended. He also thinks the time has come to move on. There's important work to do. We've got to focus on the people, the people, the people. We have to focus on the people. We have to focus on the people, the people, the people. We have to focus on the people. So that's the end of the Schwarzenegger investigation. That goes the same way that O.J. Simpson's investigation to find who really killed Ron Goldman and... Whatever happened to the Plame investigation? Remember that? Huh? Remember Valerie Plame? You remember her, don't you? Her husband, Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who had publicly stated in an op-ed piece in the New York Times in July that despite Bush's statements to the contrary, Iraq had not tried to purchase so-called yellow cake, uranium from Niger, yada, yada, yada. And his wife was outed, thanks to this right-wing, scum-sucking Bob Novak for the Chicago Sun-Times, and the weasel who sits across from the decent human beings on Crossfire, the left-wingers, the liberals. They're not really left-wingers, so the liberals. But the scum-sucking, traitor, dog, filthy pig, Robert Novak, God, I hate these people, who revealed, after it was revealed to him, that Valerie Plame was a deep undercover CIA agent, CIA operative. And then the Bush crime family said, oh, well, yeah, we'll have to find out who did this. Oh, my gosh. Bush said, if there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. And if the person has violated the law, that person will be taken care of. It never crossed too stupid to be president, his simple mind to simply ask his staff who the leaker was, right? And you remember that John Ashcroft, Attorney General, Justice Department, despite the obvious conflict of interest, refused to appoint a special prosecutor. So what happened to the Valerie Plame investigation? Nothing. Republicans are liars. They are filthy, scum-sucking, vicious, amoral, mass killers. Outing a CIA undercover operative means nothing. That's like going to the refrigerator and getting a glass of 2% milk. That's all that is. Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson, forget about it. And Andrew Card on Sunday, dismissed as a moot point. Any lingering questions about whether Bush lied in justifying the invasion of Iraq? Now, that's not exactly what Card said. Card said, any lingering questions about whether Bush relied on faulty intelligence to justify the invasion of Iraq has become moot. Any questions about that, no longer on the table, no longer relative, forget about it, no further need, no questions, nothing, that's it. Card also rejected charges from fellow proto-Nazi Newt Gingrich that the Bush administration's post-war policies went off a cliff after an impressive invasion. Oh, that was an impressive invasion that deposed Saddam Hussein's government. Oh, God. Yeah, the most powerful, militant, armed nation in the history of the human race goes after a cheap-ass third-world country that has been isolated from the rest of the world for 12 years, and these thugs call it an impressive invasion. Let me pause, get my breath. Okay. More than 7 months after Bush declared major combat over, American inspectors have not found the weapons of mass destruction, which Bush accused Iraq of hiding, used as a major reason of going to war. Yada, 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 yada. None of it, according to Andrew Card, another eater of the dead, another vampire, a ghoulish, slimy, corpse-eating thug, says, it's a moot point. Doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter. On CNN's late edition, with who is that with the former U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer? I think it is. He said on Sunday, when you go there today and you see some of the mass graves of the dead where he murdered his own people with weapons provided by the father of my boss and the rest. No, he didn't say that. He's not honest enough. When you go there and you see the mass graves of the dead where he murdered his own people, you just can't help but think that we are much better off. So I think, Andrew Card said, it's a moot point. The good news is Saddam is no longer a threat to his own people. We are. That's not what he said either. But so any questions about the lies told by Bush and every single member of his filthy, degenerate administration regarding going to war, those questions are no longer relevant. Arnold Schwarzenegger is no longer investigating the groping charges. And what was the other thing, Kathy? The outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame is no longer relevant either. You see how these people work? Huh? And you see why people like me are constantly unemployed. We're bringing this stuff up, right? Now, I said during the first hour when we were talking about ABC pulling their
embedded
reporter from the Kucinich campaign because Dennis Kucinich had the temerity and, the bravery, the courage, well, that's what temerity means, to call out Ted Koppel last night when Koppel was asking asinine, half-witted, jerkwad questions about, well, now, what do you think about Al Gore endorsing Howard Dean? And how about the money being raised? You know, you haven't raised a lot of money there, Dennis, and neither of you, Ambassador Mosley Braun and Al Sharpton, you ought to pass the plate. So Kucinich called him on it. Prior to last night's debate, John Nichols, writing for the Madison Capital Times in Wisconsin, who he also writes for The Nation, of course, said the following. Dennis Kucinich cannot get a break from big media. Well, altogether, 3-2-1. Duh! But John is right. John goes on and writes, the co-chairman of the Congressional Progressive Caucus is running a vigorous, intellectually adventurous, policy-based campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. He is leaping on issues before the other candidates recognize them. He is bringing broader perspectives to the debates. He's building a base of supporters nationwide that could play a significant role in debates about the direction of the Democratic Party. Yet the political punditocracy in this country steadfastly refuses to treat his candidacy with even a measure of the seriousness that is accorded the other members of the House and Senate who are seeking the Democratic Party's nod. John Green, director of the University of Akron's something or other, he's an observer of the media's impact on political races. This guy said it's a legitimate complaint from the Kucinich camp. The media, particularly television, cover elections like horse races. He noted that in this horse race, television reporters frequently dismiss Kucinich as the fringe candidate or the long shot candidate. The absurdity and the irresponsibility of most media's approach to Kucinich's candidacy has been particularly evident in recent weeks. Now, you know why? Did you know this? Let me share it with you. This is an issue every single listener to this program knows about. And as John Nichols writes, typically, Kucinich was ahead of the curve on an important issue. In November, he seized on concerns about the reliability of electronic voting machines produced by Diebold Incorporated, one of the nation's largest voting equipment manufacturers. Those concerns were stirred by a revelation that Diebold employees had expressed concerns in emails about the security of machines produced by the company. Diebold sought to shut down any debate about its machines by threatening legal actions against operators of websites like Bev Harris's, that were publishing or linking to corporate documents that detailed flaws in Diebold equipment and irregularities in the certifying of the company's systems for elections. When he heard of the legal threats, Kucinich took on the politically potent corporation, Diebold. He asked House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Sensenbrenner, a Republican, and the ranking Democrat on the committee, John Conyers, to investigate whether the company's actions were potential abuses of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. He also posted the controversial documents on his congressional website. Dennis Kucinich did this. Diebold quickly backed down. And Kucinich used the development to declare, quote, in a democracy where half the people don't vote and where the last presidential election was decided by the Supreme Court, we cannot tolerate flawed voting equipment or intimidation of those who point out the flaws. Diebold backing down from its intimidation campaign is a positive step. An honest and open examination of the flaws in electronic voting will lead us to only one possible conclusion. Electronic voting machines are dangerous to democracy because there's no way of ensuring their accuracy. We have to have, Dennis wrote, a voter-verified paper trail for every election so that any errors and irregularities caused by the voting machines can be recovered. End quote. Now, this makes for a good story, right? A presidential candidate takes on a major corporation and wins in a fight over an issue that is fundamental to the functioning of our democracy. So where were the headlines about Kucinich's fight with Diebold? Where were they? Television? Discussions on public radio? Commercial talk radio? Nothing. What did get attention? The fact that after Kucinich mentioned in an early November forum that he was a bachelor, that 80 women contacted a New Hampshire website indicating they wanted to date him.
Never, never.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
I have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is. And if there's a violated law, the person will be taken care of.
Yeah. So, what John Nichols wrote in the Madison Capital Times about Kucinich, for those of us in the Kucinich camp who whine and bitch and moan about how Kucinich doesn't get any coverage... And, of course, most of it goes to Howard Dean, and that's good. Okay, you know, like I said, if Dennis Kucinich does not wind up with the Democratic presidential nomination and Howard Dean does, I will be on Howard Dean's bandwagon so fast the damn thing will shake from the force of me jumping on. But until that time, here's a guy who is a liberal Democrat. Howard Dean is a Democrat. Dennis Kucinich is a liberal Democrat. Dennis Kucinich does his part to expose as a member of Congress. Bev Harris and Greg Palast are the ones who first came up with this. But Dennis, the only one of the presidential candidates, how's that? A Democratic presidential candidate to bring up this issue. The information's out there. John Kerry could have gotten it. Al Sharpton could have gotten it. Wesley Clark could have gotten it. All of them. All of them could have gotten the information and done something with it. Who did? Dennis Kucinich. And he takes it to Congress. And he gets bipartisan support from Sensenbrenner, who's a Republican, and Conyers, who's a Democrat, to investigate whether Diebold's actions were abuses of the Copyright Act, threatening websites.
Well, if you put stuff up there, we'll come and burn down your house and rape your husband and murder your wife. How about that? We're Diebold, sucka.
And Diebold backs down once the publicity's out there. So Dennis Kucinich does this. Unless you read the Madison Capital Times, John Nichols' column from yesterday, unless you found it on Kucinich's website or unless you heard it here, how else would you have known that Kucinich did that? You would not have. Nor would I, had I not read the Madison Capital Times article. But as John Nichols points out, indeed, the only story on Kucinich that got extensive coverage last week dealt with the fact that after Kucinich mentioned in an early November forum that he was a bachelor, more than 80 women contacted a New Hampshire website indicating they wanted to date him. Jesus, that's what this filthy, corrupt, degenerate, CNN, Fox-driven ABC, New York Times, crap-ass media puts out there for public consumption. That! So when backers of Kucinich or Kucinich or anybody who believes in justice says, you know, Dennis Kucinich is not getting a fair shake, they're right. They're right. And again, I have absolutely nothing negative to say about Howard Dean. I will be the first to say he's no more of a liberal Democrat than I'm a conservative Republican. And anyone who buys that argument, Dean supporters don't buy that. Dean supporters know. But that's how the Judy Woodruffs and the New York Times and the Ted Koppels and Fox News Channel and the rest of these thugs paint Howard Dean as though he were a liberal. That's what, you know, their Republican National Committee talks about him as if he were McGovern. It's just an outrage. And for the most part, Americans sit back and go, okay, I don't know. Howard Dean's a liberal? Oh, God, do I want a liberal in the White House? Gee, I don't know. Howard Dean is more of a conservative Democrat than Bill Clinton was, or at least equal. Meanwhile, a real liberal Democrat, Dennis Kucinich, gets a lot of publicity when he, 80 women send him emails, say, hey, I'll date you. But when he exposes potential voter fraud and the destruction of democracy, it's ignored.
Then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day. But just 'cause you don't see it, it don't mean it's gone away.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists try to predict how plants will respond to global warming, and they see more foliage and more fire. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Global warming might be good for plants in some parts of the world. Changes in climate could lead to more rain, and that in turn could make local vegetation grow more. But there's an unusual twist to this prediction. The extra rain could ultimately lead to more fire. A group of scientists has developed an elaborate computer model to predict how climate changes might affect different communities of plants across the United States. Ron Nielsen led the project. He's an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. Nielsen says they were trying to find patterns in the way vegetation might respond to climate changes, and some of the more consistent predictions involve the western states. Nielsen says they're likely to get more rain and more plant growth. That's because warmer weather would evaporate more water from oceans, lakes, and rivers.
Essentially what happens is that when you heat up the planet, you evaporate more water, which accelerates the hydrologic cycle, and that's in effect like a fire hose pointed at the western U.S.
Nielsen says that fire hose could spray all kinds of rain and snow across the western states, and that would give plants a boost. But those states also have frequent periods that are dry and hot. Nielsen says when the dry weather rolls around, all the extra vegetation could dry out and be ready to burn. Nielsen says these computer predictions for fire and rain do not show up for all parts of the United States, but he says they do illustrate the challenges that will crop up as people try to manage a landscape that will be altered by a climate that is already changing. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, yes. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Before we get to some more Bush lies, here's a letter to the editor in Stars and Stripes, the military publication. It's titled Thanksgiving Visit. This is from Specialist Damian Torres. So the boss came to visit us on Thanksgiving, under wraps and under the American flag. Thanks for coming. Oh, thank you, kind leader, merciful leader, for taking one day out of your busy schedule to visit us. The shepherd looking over his flock. Thanks for making the sacrifice. God knows we're making one. Re-election is coming up, but that had nothing to do with it. Now did it. I remember your victorious landing on the ship. Oh, how all those then alive and now dead would love to sit down next to you, cutting their families' turkeys and filling the empty seats at the tables. Leader of the free world, be our guest at the head of our table. Or would you like to sit in one of the many empty seats left by the war? There's plenty of room. Enough turkey and stuffing to go around. Fat and happy, delirious and exhausted. That's how I feel. In a hurry? Going so soon? Have time for questions. You sure do have time for compliments. Do you ever feel responsible? I'm tired of this. Go back home to the ranch and tell them how happy and fulfilling the trip made you feel. Signed, Specialist Damian Torres, Iraq. Probably on his way to Leavenworth by now. I don't understand why members of the military don't just rise up and refuse to obey this pig. That's what we proved at Nuremberg. Hey, you can't cop out. No such thing as I was just following orders. Have you all seen the execution video that was... I will try to put a link up. It was... It looks to be CNN, a CNN feed with a voiceover. And it's a wounded Iraqi or Afghan. I think it's an Iraqi. And he's laying face down in the street. He's severely wounded, and he tries to move around, and you can hear American soldiers talking, kill him, kill the son of a bitch, and they shoot him, and then they all laugh. They kill him, and then they laugh. It's called an Iraqi execution, I believe. It's going all around the internet right now, and Shelby sent it to me. A couple of people have sent it to me. I've got a link for it. I'll put it up at my website when we post tonight and last night's topics, which we will probably do tomorrow. But it's grim. We have another generation of Americans now who are being sent into a killing machine like Iraq, who are being told the same lies that our people were told in Vietnam, in Lebanon, in Somalia, in Panama. Every one of these missions that civilians have sent our military on that were criminal in intent, violated every single standard of international law, and left an awful lot of our young men and young women, especially young men, totally traumatized to the point where they can't function. Timothy McVeigh was one of those people, by the way. And so here we go again. Here we go again. We have to be either incredibly naive or just monumentally stupid. So we take another generation of young Americans and teach them how to say nigger and give them a gun. Oh, it's not nigger? Okay, we teach them how to say gook. Oh, it's not gook? Okay. We teach them how to say slope. Oh, it's not slope? Okay. We teach them how to say Jap bastard. Oh, it's not Jap bastard? Okay. We teach them how to say towel head. No, it's not towel head. That was the last time. Okay. We teach them how to say sand nigger. Oh, it's not sand nigger. That was the last time. Okay. We teach them how to say camel jockey. You get the point, don't you? And then we arm them and we send them out to kill. And in the process, a certain percentage of our people will be killed. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. You know how a too stupid to be president is so fond of having his little photo ops in small businesses, and he gets the he makes his little speech, and he talks about how small business owners, how much he cares about them and he loves them, and oh, you're the backbone of America. According to the Daily Mislead, he said on December 1st at one of his photo ops, "We want people to feel like if you want to be a small business owner, there's a chance for you. That's why I have my tax cuts and everything. And I'm just, you know, that's why I'm, Christ favors me and God talks to me. And that's why I kill terrorists, because, you know, I'm all for small businesses," right? 4 days later, he shows up at Home Depot and displays his true colors. Home Depot, of course, is one of his largest campaign contributors and a company that is known, like Walmart, for taking away the chances for small hometown businesses to survive. Right? In a moment of candor, according to the Daily Mislead, Bush admitted, quote, "When a person has more money in their pocket, they're likely to come to Home Depot," end quote. Not one of the small businesses that Home Depot regularly works to undercut and put out of business, just like Walmart does. No, 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 no. See, as Mark Crispin Miller said a couple of years ago, when Bush speaks from his heart, from his murderous, filthy, corporate, degenerate heart, the words flow smoothly and with no problem. When a person has more money in their pocket, they're likely to come to Home Depot. Now, to make matters worse here, when asked about why Bush was touting such a company, a White House spokeswoman said, "Home Depot represents all those factors that have been keeping the economy going." Isn't that a direct insult to the small businesses that struggle, that Bush says he cares about and that Home Depot has decimated, right? Doesn't that statement from this White House spokeswoman ignore the fact that during a time of war, Home Depot refused to do business with the U.S. government and military in order to avoid consumer protection laws? Huh? How about that? Yay! But there's reason for the Bush bastard to still praise these people, because the founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, has given at least $321,000 in hard money and $273,000 in soft money contributions to Republicans in the past couple of years. Gee, that's over $500,000. And according to the Daily Mislead, photo ops are not the only way Bush has gone to bat for Home Depot over the interests of average people. Since Bush took office, since 1999, at least three customers and five workers have been killed in accidents in Home Depot. And in 2002, with the Bush crime family firmly ensconced, the number of OSHA violations at Home Depot jumped 45%. So instead of increasing federal oversight, Bush's most recent budget cuts OSHA's budget. See, there's many ways to pay back your contributors. You don't have to be blatant about it. You can do things like that, cut OSHA's budget. If you shop at Home Depot, be careful. You might die. Just remember that. You might die. Three customers and five workers have been killed in accidents in Home Depot. Never mind. It's okay. Now, the other story that has fallen off the radar screen here, another one of Bush's lies. Remember the Bush's pledge to fund global AIDS, the fight against AIDS globally? Remember that? What was it, $15 billion? Oh, just a ton of money. The Wall Street Journal reported today,
President Bush plans to ask Congress for relatively small funding increases to fight AIDS and poverty in the developing world, stepping back from his highly publicized pledge to spend huge sums to fight both AIDS and poverty. Snicker, snicker, nudge, nudge, har, har, har. I just said it.
I just said it for you dumbasses out there, so you think that I'm really compassionate and conservative. I don't care about AIDS sufferers. Let them die. They're mostly faggots anyway, right? Jesus doesn't like faggots. I don't care. Slowly but surely, this lying hypocrite is abandoning what appeared to be his own commitment to fully fund the global fight against AIDS. Do you think George Bush cares? Jesus. Last year in the State of the Union speech, Bush said, I asked the Congress to commit $15 billion over the next 5 years to turn the tide against AIDS in the most afflicted nations of Africa and the Caribbean. Seldom has history offered a greater opportunity to do so much for so many. Oh, God, I'm such a Christian. I'm such a good guy. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? Even U2's lead singer Bono got sucked into it and hailed Bush's speech. Bono said, if we can turn the president's bold long-term vision into near-term results, we're excited. But he added, Bono added, any delay in increased funding means more lives lost and even bigger check in the future. But unfortunately, it's all BS. It was all a lie. The LA Times reported 5 days after that Bush introduced a budget in which $15 billion? No, $2 billion for AIDS. I don't know. When questioned about the discrepancy here, White House spokesman Scott McClellan simply refused to address the issue, and Scott McClellan said, the president has shown unprecedented leadership in the fight against AIDS. You know, I started telling you and myself, I don't mean telling you, you know all this stuff. I started saying on the air, what was it, Kathy? It was this year, I believe, maybe just a few months ago, that they don't even bother to spin anymore. They don't bother to put out half-truths or misinformation or disinformation. The bastards just stand there and lie, and it doesn't make any difference. Condoleezza Rice, Scott McClellan, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, makes no difference. Makes no difference. Up is down, black is white, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Oh, one last thing before we come back to the phones here. Do we have any calls? I guess we do. No. This is from the Australian, Australia's national daily newspaper, December 11th. That would be today there. Oil giant Unocal yesterday became the first American firm to stand trial in the United States for human rights, alleged human rights abuses abroad, in a case centered on the construction of the gas pipeline in Burma. Burmese villagers claim Unocal, the California-based company, was complicit in human rights abuses by the nation's military junta, including forced labor, rape, torture, and murder. Now, the story goes on and on and on and on and on. Unocal is the company that gave us Hamid Karzai, who is now Bush's puppet in Afghanistan. Unocal gave us Khalid, what's his name? He is our ambassador now to Afghanistan. He's the one making sure that the pipeline deal goes through. You know, the pipeline through Afghanistan into Pakistan to bring out the natural gas and maybe some oil from the Caspian Sea area. Unocal. Unocal was the corporation that brought five leading members of the Taliban to Houston, Texas in 1999 or 1998 and tried to cut a deal with them. Said, look, here's a deal. You give us the rights to build this pipeline, and we will pave your country in gold. If you refuse us, we will bomb you back to the Stone Age. And the Taliban leaders who were in Houston, Texas, you know, just I don't know, I wasn't there, but in reading the book Forbidden Truth, the Taliban leaders kind of looked at each other like, what? And they turned the deal down. And then the Bush crime family engineered the attack on this country on September. Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties all of a sudden. So until we get it repaired, we're going to play a rebroadcast of one of my better programs. So stick around, stay with me. We'll have this fixed momentarily.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. We have, I've said this a couple of times. We have a lot of ground to cover here. Senator, more comments from Senator Byrd. And then we have a series of comments from Dennis Kucinich that I want to get to in a second. But let's just move on to some phone calls here. Elizabeth is calling from Norwalk, Ohio. Elizabeth, about time you called in.
I know, Mike, and I get so nervous. I know my name. But yesterday was my big 7-0. So after I listened to the first part of your messages, I called Senator DeWine's office, Senator Voinovich's office, the White House.
Uh-huh.
Byrd, first I started with him. That's my birthday present to me. Gephardt's office is not answering. It just rings and rings and rings. So
really?
I'm trying to get the message out to stop the insanity. But I have an article here from a weekly Irish American newspaper, and it's the Irish Echo. And this is written by Patrick Farrelly. And his article talks about Bernadette Devlin McCloskey,
mm-hmm.
how she compared New York City, the coming to JFK Airport and flying into Belfast Airport, and the fact that up at JFK there is a framed copy of the Bill of Rights, and in Belfast was a copy of the Prevention of Terrorism Act.
Mm.
And she said, it's unbelievable that regardless of its shortcomings, at Kennedy, you knew you were in a country that had a constitution and a Bill of Rights that guaranteed individual rights that were inalienable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still there, but with what's going on, they should put suspended or deleted over that sign at Kennedy.
And Bernadette Devlin should know how to...
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
Need more tissue?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing.
Humpty-back camels and...
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties all of a sudden, so until we get it repaired, we're going to play a rebroadcast of one of my better programs. So stick around, stay with me, we'll have this fixed momentarily.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. We have, I've said this a couple of times. We have a lot of ground to cover here. Senator, more comments from Senator Byrd. And then we have a series of comments from Dennis Kucinich that I want to get to in a second. But let's just move on to some phone calls here. Elizabeth is calling from Norwalk, Ohio. Elizabeth, about time you called in.
I know, Mike, and I get so nervous about my name.
I know
my
you do.
Name, rather. But yesterday was my big 7-0. So after I listened to the first part of your messages, I called Senator DeWine's office, Senator Voinovich's office. First, I started with him. That's my birthday present to me. Gephardt's office is not answering. It just rings and rings and rings. So
really?
I'm trying to get the message out to stop the insanity. But I have an article here from a weekly Irish American newspaper, and it's the Irish Echo. And this is written by Patrick Farrelly. And his article talks about Bernadette Devlin McCloskey,
mm-hmm.
how she compared New York City the coming to JFK Airport and flying into Belfast Airport, and the fact that up at JFK there is a framed copy of the Bill of Rights, and in Belfast was a copy of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. And she said, it's unbelievable that regardless of its shortcomings, at Kennedy, you knew you were in a country that had a constitution and a Bill of Rights, a guaranteed individual rights that were inalienable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still there, but with what's going on, they should put suspended or deleted over that sign at Kennedy.
And Bernadette Devlin should know, having been a spokeswoman years ago, back in the 60s for the IRA.
Right. And this article compares these years of what was going on over there, mm-hmm. in Northern Ireland, with what's going on now. And they said that, and this Patrick Farrelly said, and he evidently lives in New York, because he said, the next time you have a Pakistani cab driver in New York, ask him how many of his coworkers have disappeared in the last year. That's one point. There's other points, but the last thing I want to get to. In the British case, it took 20 years and thousands of deaths and injuries for them to realize that political situations demand political solutions.
Mm-hmm.
The British seem to have little realization that their policies towards the Irish were producing a murderous rage in even the most law-abiding people. And the comparison, the fact that it was a wasted effort over there, didn't achieve anything. And what's going to happen here? This is what's going on in Washington, I think, is under the category of insanity.
I certainly don't disagree with you, Elizabeth. I'm stunned every single day. I get tongue-tied here. I can't talk. I'm stunned every day to realize what has happened in this republic, what has happened to...
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9:30.